So I want to get on with the word tonight. Josh Tanner isn't here tonight, but we have an awesome young man who you guys have, many of you have heard preach before at GM, and that is, of course, Gabriel Peppard Webb. Why did I just say that? I have a friend named Gabriel Peppard. Gabe Webb.
Gabriel Peppard. Can you guys hear me out there? Cool. Gabriel Peppard. I'll be Gabriel Peppard tonight.
Mr. Peppard.
Christina said that we're going to be doing witnessing, which is something that God told us to do, right? He told us, the last thing he told us before he ascended into heaven was go and make disciples. He tells us to go and make disciples. Some people say that if you don't make disciples, are you really a disciple? And so I think it's a big deal that we go out and first witness the gospel to people, see them come to the Lord, and then disciple them in Jesus' teachings. Amen? Cool. So tonight we're talking about no substitute. Would you open up your Bibles? Where should we go tonight? I don't know. So many scriptures. It's like 66 books. The whole Bible. Which one should we go to tonight? Romans? John's a good one. Luke? Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. He must be a prophet. Luke chapter 10. We could go to the gospel. Let's go to Romans. Romans will work too. So Romans chapter 1, let's do that. We're going to go back to Luke, but since somebody said Romans, I can preach from Romans too. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I think it's 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged. Somebody say exchanged.
Exchange.
Say substituted.
Substitute.
The glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles.
I didn't have that planned, but it can fit in my message tonight. So let's do that. Also, Luke chapter 10. We'll go back to Luke chapter 10. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that people exchange the very image of God for fake stuff. Birds. Did you know that they would like melt their gold together and make cows and worship them? I mean, could you imagine taking like the earrings off of your ear and like melting them and then start worshiping it? I mean, that's just weird if you ask me. I mean, you got to be pretty desperate to worship your earrings. You know what I mean? Okay. Guess that's not funny. So we're going to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to verse 38. I think that's what my notes say. Martha. Martha and Mary, right? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Say, "only one thing is needed."
Only one thing is needed.
Sweet. "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to pray, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. It's just kind of funny. The next chapter actually talks about the golden calf that they worshipped and things like that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says this in verse 1. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I give you today. I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what is in your heart,
whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 1 says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. Say today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you want to speak to us. God, that today you want to reveal to us a word. You want to speak to us and challenge us and encourage us, equip us. Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would come and speak to us and you would help us not just to be hearers of your word, but as well that we'd be doers and we'd do what you've called us to do. You'd help us to implement what you've called us to do. God, we're desperate for you to speak to us. God, would you use me tonight just to be a vessel that you can speak and that you can challenge and you can encourage tonight. I'm asking your word would come clearly and what you have spoken to me would be spoken to each and every one of us. God, challenge us, encourage us today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess if you summed up Christianity, you would realize that Christianity is mostly about being like Christ. Wouldn't you say? I mean, if Christianity means Christ-like, then Christianity is about being like Christ, which is making disciples. We just said, and we just stated earlier, that what God's called us to do, he says it in Matthew 28, that he calls us to go, right? He says, go and make disciples, each and every one of us. If we don't make disciples, who will? I promise you, Jesus is not going to come back in the flesh and start making disciples for us. I promise you that will not happen. But then again, Jesus is here in the flesh in us. And he wants to make disciples through us. The last thing he said was go and make disciples. He said, go. But the problem is, if you read the Bible today, you're not going to be able to read the Bible and see exactly what I'm supposed to do today, what I'm not supposed to do today, what street I'm supposed to turn on, what college I'm supposed to go to, what restaurant I'm supposed to eat at, what guy should I talk to today, who exactly should I minister today. You're not going to find in the Bible every single thing that you want to do today. So if that's the case, and we're supposed to live in God's will, how do we do that? How do we live in God's will today? You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that you as a Christian are called to do everything God has called you to do right now? That if you're giving Him your whole heart, you're supposed to serve Him every second, every heartbeat that you have? It's supposed to be given and devoted to the Lord? And so if that's the case, if I'm supposed to live every heartbeat and every second for the Lord, then I want to know what He's doing, right? I mean, I want to know what He wants me to do. I think one of the most popular questions and one of the most asked questions in the church in Christianity today would be, what's God's will? Have you ever asked that? Have you ever been like, what's God's will for me? And so we have this statement, go and make disciples. But we need to understand that we can't go and make disciples if we don't know exactly how, when, where we're supposed to go. It's a pretty broad statement to go and make disciples, isn't it? But if I'm supposed to disciple exactly who God has called me to disciple, then I want to know who I'm supposed to disciple. If I'm called to go and preach the gospel and witness to people, then I want to know exactly who I'm supposed to witness to. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, go to your closet and pray. The first go, I could say, of the New Testament that Jesus tells us to do is first to go to your closet. In other words, don't go and make disciples if you haven't gone to your closet and met with Jesus. Because I promise you, you'll probably lead people away from Jesus. You'll probably be discouraged. You'll end up not doing His will. And you'll be wasting your time. And you won't grow.
if you don't go and get the will of the Lord. Does that make sense? You guys hear me tonight? We must understand that God wants to speak to us today. As we just read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, that He wants us to obey His commandments today. And that's not just for back then. That's for today and every day that we would meet with the Lord. That we would first go to our personal place with the Lord. Whether it's a closet, whether it's driving down the road, whether it's I wake up and I get out of my bed, I roll the crust out of my eyes or wipe the crust out of my eyes, and then I start meeting with Jesus. Whatever you're or wherever your quiet place is, that we would first go and we would first meet with Jesus before we go and do anything else. There's a lot of good things that we can go do. There's a lot of things that each of us could go do. I could go preach to a lot of people. I could go stand before a million people and preach. And you know what? 1,000 people, 100,000 people might get saved. But dare I say, is that really what God's will is for me? People, I mean, you think, well, you're absurd, Gabriel. That's ridiculous. Of course. 1,000 people just came to the Lord, or 100,000 people just came to the Lord because you preached. Well, I don't know. When I stand before my Father in heaven, He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, if I wasn't being His servant. If I was doing what I wanted to do, would He really say, well done, good and faithful servant? I don't think so. What if, you guys have heard of Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham. What if the guy who led Billy Graham to Jesus didn't? What if he decided to do whatever he wanted to do and went and ministered and preached to a lot of other people? In other words, you have a mission. You have a selected people who God has called you to minister the gospel to, who has called you to disciple. And if you don't disciple those people, you'll have to take account for it in heaven with the Father. This is a heavy message, but I want to lay it down because I do believe that we're not going to grow in numbers or in purity of any kind in character if we don't understand that we have to meet with Jesus and we have to know the voice of God. Because if we don't meet with Jesus and we don't hear the voice of the Lord, then I'm not going to go. Moses said it. He goes, Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. We have to understand that first, I'm going to meet with Jesus. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do this day so that I can obey you this day? Instead of, I'm going to go, I'm going to stand on a corner of a street and preach the gospel. Oh, well, 6 people got saved today. Is that what God wanted you to do? Well, I mean, 6 people got saved. Well, that's cool. But are you doing what God has called you to do? I don't know about you, but if God has called me, Gabriel, to lead 3 people to Jesus, only 3, just when this person, and this person to me, and I'll call you just to be a father and a disciple of these people and to be and to live in me and to worship me your whole days, all the days of your life. That's all I'm calling you to do. Okay. And I go and I go off to Africa and I start like 60 churches and I preach to thousands of people and people come to the Lord. Am I really doing God's will? Mm-mm. When I stand before my Father, He's going to look at me and say, I called you to do this. Why did you go and do this? I think that if every Christian in Anchorage just did God's will, I think it would look a lot different. Because if it's not God's will for me to preach to that person, is that person really going to get saved? I don't think so. But if God's called me to minister and to preach to certain people, I'm going to do it. Whether they come to the Lord or not, I want to do what God has called me to do. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to be here tonight, so I go ahead and go there and kind of stay there tonight. If you want, you can keep your little dealy on Luke chapter 10. Luke 15, Saul, as a prophet of the Lord at that time, the Bible says that not one of his prophecies fell to the ground. Not one of his prophecies died, that every one of his prophecies came to pass. That's a pretty accurate man, if you ask me. He says, he comes to Saul, who is the king at that time, king over Israel.
He says, I am the one, the Lord, sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Say everything. To everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. In verse 3, the first thing he says is go. We're going to come back to this in a little bit later, but I want to pinpoint on this that we, before we go and we ever do anything, we have to first get an assignment from the Lord. That this day, when I wake up today, I'm going to get an assignment from the Lord. And I'm going to do whatever He's called me to do. 11 cents, sorry. People must think I'm preaching good or something. Throwing money at me. I want to know what God has for me today. Do you want to know what God has for you? When you stand before your Father, do you want to say, Lord, I kind of did what I wanted to do? Or do you want to say, Lord, I've done what you've called me to do? And He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. A servant doesn't do what he wants to do. A servant does what his father, or sorry, what his master has called him to do, right? This is huge. Because I want to encourage you, if anything tonight, I want to encourage you to go. But if you see what the prophet does here, before he says go, he tells him his assignment. He says, now go. In other words, go now that I've told you what you're supposed to do. And as he says, now go, he then gives him more detail of how to do it. So that when I wake up, I go to my Father and I ask Him, Lord, what exactly do you have for me to do today? And I ask Him. And He gives me an assignment of what it looks like. Instead of taking out my calendar and saying, Lord, where do you fit in my calendar here today? Where do you fit in my plans today? I don't know if that's giving God my whole heart or if that's giving God my crevices and my cracks. I think for me it sounds more like I'm giving God my leftovers. What we have to understand, we have to believe and trust is that God has a good will for us. That He will lead us into good pastures. In the calm streams. Lead us on the path of righteousness. That God is for us. That He's on our side. And the word that He speaks to us is true. It's living. And it's because He loves you. And it's because He loves His people. And He doesn't want to harm you. And He wants to see you go, not where you want to go. Not to the right. Not to the left, but exactly where He's calling you to go. Amen? I want to break down for you a little bit of Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Jesus and disciples were on their way, right? He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. This is huge. This is what we are called to do every day. It's very simple. This message is very simple. But it's very huge. It's very key to understand this. It's very important to get this, that we must understand that I need to sit at the feet of the Lord. Jesus comes in John chapter 6, and He says in verse 27, He says, you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things, like food. He says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Son of Man, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for that very purpose. Spend your energy, this is the New Living Translation, it says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I can give you. Later, He says in verse 63, He says, it is the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. Before we go anywhere, we have to stop and go, why was this woman, Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus?
I want to present to you that the reason is because she understood that his words were spirit and they were life. Before we go anywhere, we have to understand that Jesus' words are life, that they're living to us. That if I don't wake up and I don't go sit at the Lord's feet and get that life from Him and let Him speak into me, not just turn on my worship music and read the book that I want to read, but no, I get up in the morning and I actually go to the throne and I say, Heavenly Father, what do you want from me today? What do you want from me today? What is your will look for me today? And we actually listen to Him. It doesn't say that she talked the whole time. It said she listened to His voice. Before we go, we have to know His voice. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, casting out demons. He tells them all these things. But at the very end, He says, and know that I am with you. We have to have this mindset, this attitude, that wherever I go, whether it's to a sports game, whether it's to a movie theater, whether it's to a friend's house, whether it's driving down my road by myself, that Jesus is with me and He wants me to do what He has called me to do, not what I want to do. Amen? So where's the substitute part come in? Because if God's will is what He's called me to do, and that if His word is where, if God speaks, is that not His will? That's His will, right? For instance, the Bible says that the overflow of the heart, the mouth, speaks. And if God speaks, then obviously something is overflowing out of His heart. The heart of the Father is speaking to His Son. And if it's His heart, then it's His will. It's His desire for you. And if He's speaking it to you, then therefore it is His will for you. So when God speaks to you, this is His will. This is what He wants. But we can't do what He wants us to do if we don't go and listen. Before I go anywhere tonight, we must understand that I must go to the feet of Jesus and I must sit there. This is my purpose. This is His first and foremost will, that I know Jesus. Because in John 17, the book of John, the Gospel of John 17, in verse 3, it says that this is eternal life, that they may know the Father and the Son whom you have sent. That we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Look, like I said earlier, there's a lot of good things that you can do. There's a lot of people you can preach at. There's a lot of songs that you can sing. But if you're not doing the will of the Lord, what are you doing? Are you wasting your time? My answer would be yes. I'm going to prove my point. Because there is no substitute. In verse 40, it says this. It says, but Martha was distracted. So Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it says, but. The buts of the Bible. This is a big but. You guys can laugh in church. It's okay. This is a big but. But Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Bible says she was distracted. Can I go as far to say she was distracted in serving? She was distracted in trying to do good. In other words, we as Christians can get distracted in trying to do good, trying to live right, trying to be good, look good, smell good, talk good, walk good, say all the right things, serve the right people. Even say the right things on the stadium or sing the right songs in worship. We can do all the right things. Say all the right things to my mom so she thinks I'm a Christian. Do all the good things. But if you hear Jesus, He's saying that's a distraction. There's no substitute for God's word. There's no substitute for God's voice. There's no substitute for God's will in your life. I was driving down the road Tuesday morning. I woke up 6 o'clock and I was sick. Kind of getting over it right now. If you kind of can tell, I got a little, can you guys kind of tell? I got a little sinus congestion right now. Okay. Well, now you know. Sweet. Could have went along this night without telling you that, but I do. I kind of have a little sinus congestion and And no, I didn't do any horrific sin that made me get this sickness or whatever. But I wake up 6 o'clock and I'm kind of bummed already because I know that I need to eat some food. Because the day before I woke up and I was driving to work and man, I had an omelet with sausage and cheese. I made it myself. I gotta admit, I'm a pretty good cook. An omelet with sausage and cheese. I had 2 other eggs on the side. One of them was kind of scrambled. The other one had the yolk still good. And I had 4 pieces of toast and I had some orange juice. And man, I was just, but the thing was that I got a text message from one of my buddies and he's like, hey, work starts at this time instead of this time. And I'm like, oh shoot, you know, I'm like freaking out because I'm going to be late. And if you're late, it's bad juju, you know. And so I'm like, oh man, I got to get to work. So I'm like panicking. I see all this good food in front of me and I'm like, okay, so I grab it, I'm in my car, and the rule, and Maya, don't tell mom, but the rule of the house is that you can't take plates out of the house, but I had to eat. I was sick, and if I didn't eat, it would have been horrible. I probably would have been like, you know, I work at FedEx, so I move boxes out of something like this, and I probably got fired and lost my job, so I'm like, I need to eat some food. I'm already skinny as it is, and so I need to eat some food this morning. And so here I am, it's icy, my car is frosted, I can't even see, it's sunny, so it's shining, I can't even see, so I'm driving on the road, and I'm sitting there, and I can't even drive with my knee, so I'm trying to drive with my knee at the same time as I think somebody called me, so I'm like this, and I'm driving, and I don't have studs, and I'm in two-wheel driving, so as you know, in Alaska in the past week, it's been really slick on the road, and so I'm sliding all over the place, people are honking their horns at me, because I'm trying to eat my food. And so I'm driving, I went from like, I don't know if you guys know Rose, but I went from like Dowling and Lake Otis to International and Old Seward, and I'd finished this whole plate of food while driving. And that's a big deal. I mean, I'm going like this, and you know, like this, and looking at the person next to me, I'm like talking, you know, eating at the same time. I was eating. And I realized the next morning I woke up, I was like, man, I would really love that food this morning, but I just didn't have time. And so instead, I go into my pantry, open up the deal, and I see these cheese crackers in there. And I would have brought them this morning for you to see and be like, okay. And anyway, make a long story short, I take these cheese crackers, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, I could really use that omelet and that orange juice, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, man, this would be so good, you know. And so I'm like, well, I need something. I need something to fill me. I need something in there, you know what I mean? And so I take it and I just put it in my pocket, 6 in the morning, I can't even really see, so I'm just kind of like, whatever. And I'm walking out the door and I go, no, I need something else. I need some kind of an energy, something that is actually some kind of healthiness. You know what I mean? Like, you know how, like, I don't know about you, but after I eat at Applebee's, I feel sick. I mean, because that food is so fake, you know? And so I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, I'm not starting out my day with cheese crackers. First of all, it's all preservatives. It probably lasts for 100 years. It probably will last longer than I'm living right now. I mean, the stuff is disgusting. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna balance this out. And so what I do, I go grab some orange juice, which I broke the second commandment, which is the house of the people that I live with. It's a law that you don't take stuff out of the house. And I did. So I did it again, and I probably need to go repent, you know, tomorrow or something. But I actually ended up telling her about it anyway. So I take this orange juice and I'm like, you know, I'm like stumbling because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like sinning right now, you know, I'm like taking this glass out of the house. And so anyway, I get in my car and so I'm driving at 6 in the morning. I'm stinking tired. I got to be at work and driving. And I'm sitting there. I take this cracker and I'm like, and of course, you know, I stop at every stoplight. In the last place, I'm flying through. I'm somewhere on the stoplight. And I'm trying, the last meal, I was enjoying it. You know, this food was good, but this one was just like, oh my gosh, cheese crackers, you've got to be kidding me. So every bite was just, at 6 in the morning, you're wanting something juicy and something nice, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm like looking for something like that, and this was just not good. It just did not taste good. It's just crackers at 6 in the morning. So I'm eating it, and I'm like, all right, well, I need to balance this out. So I grab orange juice in the morning. I don't know about you guys, but I love it. I mean, this fresh squeeze, orange juice from Florida. That wasn't from Florida. But anyway, so this orange juice is good. So I start drinking this orange juice, washing down that disgusting stuff because I need something to get in my stomach so that when I'm working, I actually have some energy to build from. Driving down the road, and I get to the stoplight, eating it. I look at it. I start thinking about the food I had the other day. And God says to me, there is no substitute. There is no substitute for this cheese cracker that you're eating. and there is no substitute for my word. I have one will for you. I have a word for you. I have a plan for you. I have a desire for you. There's no replacement. There is no substitute. You can't exchange this will. But I drank the orange juice. There's no substitute. But what about the food that I had the day before? There's no substitute. But didn't I serve those people in Afghanistan? There's no substitute. But didn't I preach the gospel to all those people? There's no substitute. But didn't I serve every day of my life? I didn't even work. I didn't even make money. There's no substitute for my will. There's my will, or there's your will. And your will is sinful. My will is eternal life. There is no substitute for God's word. Every morning when you wake up, you can't substitute God's will with something else and think you're living in God's will. I'm talking about little things. I'm talking about for those who don't even go and pray and seek God. I'm talking about simply not going and praying and seeking God. And for those who do, that even waking up in the morning and reading your Bible, listen to me, that waking up in the morning and reading your Bible, if that's not God's will for you at that moment, don't do it. In other words, wake up in the morning and you ask the Father, what do you want me to do this moment? I'm not saying be weird and be like, am I supposed to go to Subway, Fred Meyer's, Cars? No. Okay, don't hear me that on that note. What I am saying is that every moment that we live, that we are at all times submitting ourselves to the Lord and going, Lord, am I supposed to read the scripture this morning at this moment? Or do you want me to go down and talk to my little brother, my little sister, and love them? You know what I'm saying? There's no substitute for God's word. There's no substitute for God's will. If you're not living in God's will, what are we doing? If we're not doing what God's called us to do, why are we doing anything? I want to be a church. I want to be a generation. I want to be a group of young people that do God's will. I want to lead people that do God's will. If I do anything, let it be that I do God's will. If I sit in a dungeon of poop and pee and everything else for 10 years, and that's God's will for me, I want to do it because He's my Father, and He loves me, and He has a purpose for my life. And He has one for you too. You can't substitute it with doing good. Martha was distracted by serving. What? That doesn't make sense. She was doing good things though. Don't get caught up in doing good. Get caught up in the word of the Lord. Get caught up in the will of God. Get caught up in every time He speaks to you, that you do exactly what He says. If we go back to 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 24, what happens in that story is God told him to destroy every single person. Right? God had a specific work for him to do, right? God gave him a specific instruction, a specific command. And what does he do? For sake of time, we're not going to be able to read the whole story. If you'd like to, you can go home and read it. But what happens, and it's 1 Samuel 15, the whole chapter, what happens is that Saul goes out, and he goes to the Amalekites, and he kills everybody except for the king, and except for some other things, some sheep and some cattle, so they could throw a big party. Was that obeying the word of the Lord? Is there a substitution for God's will? No? Yes, and say it. Is there a substitution for God's will? No. So what happens? How does God feel when we substitute His word, His will, for something else? Let's look at this. Samuel talks to him and he tells him in 17, he goes, basically says that you should have done, this is what God told you to do, you didn't do it or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Saul goes, but I did obey him, I did do that, blah, blah, blah. And he goes back and forth. And finally Samuel goes, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? This is verse 22. As much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It can be said like this. Does God delight in doing good deeds and being good rather than just obeying His voice? Does God want each and every one of us to do good things, or does He want us to obey His voice? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey the voice of the Lord. That person doesn't look very good. They just seem like they kind of hide in the background. They don't really do anything. And They're not really winning too many people to Christ. They must not be very high in the kingdom. Really? Really? I don't know about you, but I think that the greatest is the least, and least is the greatest. And I think that those are measured by faith of little children who obey their father. It doesn't matter how you look on this, on the measuring scale. If you're doing the will of the Lord, God's going to bless you. Amen?
He goes on and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination.
How do you say that word? Divination.
And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected, somebody say rejected, the word of the Lord. Did you know that, that by substituting God's word for something else is rejecting God?
Wow.
That if I don't wake up in the morning, I don't spend time with Jesus, but instead I go do what I want to do, that I am rejecting and denying my Father in heaven who saved me?
That's pretty heavy. I don't want to reject God. I don't know about you. But by simply not doing what God's called me to do is rejecting Him.
You know what God says?
He has rejected you as king.
Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. And this is the key right here. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them.
Have you given in to the voice of the world rather than the voice of God? There is a voice that's calling. There is a voice that's speaking to us today, calling us to live a life of sin. Or even calling us to live a life where we want to do things of what we want to do. Many people have told me, man, you could go play college basketball. You could go minister to people on the courts. You could be a great witness. But is it what God wants me to do? You could go to Africa and start a huge church. Millions of people. But is that what God wants me to do? He might call somebody else to do that. Great. But I want to know what God has for me. Because if I'm not doing what God has for me, then I'm not doing the will of the Lord. And if I'm not doing the will of the Lord, I'm rejected in the will of the Lord. And if I'm rejecting Him, Lord, forgive me. It goes on further.
Luke 10. Martha was distracted, right? Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.
There's only one thing that's needed. It's sitting at the feet of the Lord every day. It's listening to His voice, sitting spiritually at His feet, asking Him, Lord, what do you have for me? You want to know what college you want to go to? It's not exactly listen to everybody that says to go to a certain place or building the right business or doing the right things. It's going to your Father who wants to bless you, who has a good plan for you, and listening to His voice and doing what He says. That's His will for you. For me, I don't preach or speak or communicate any messages that I think my messages don't come from me thinking I got it all figured out. As a matter of fact, as you just found out, that 2 days ago God spoke this word to me. He's been speaking to me the idea of it for about a couple few months now. But don't hear me tonight that I'm saying that I got all this figured out and I do everything God's called me to do every minute and every second and I'm perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm challenged. And God's calling me tonight to challenge you and ask you, have you substituted His will, His word, His voice for your will, for the voice of the world, for anything else that isn't His will?
Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26.
And we know the story. He says, Father, is there any way this cup can pass from me? In other words, Lord, is there any way your will can be done another way? Is there any way I can do something else? Obviously not, because Jesus went to the cross and he was separated from God the Father. There's no substitute for God's will. John chapter 4, Jesus goes to Samaria and he goes to the well, right? Last time I spoke about this. But I didn't speak about the specific thing. Is that when Jesus went to the well, the disciples went down to the city. You know, they're bringing food for Jesus. They probably want to do something good, help Jesus out. But Jesus stayed. He ended up saying that my food is to do the will of the Lord and to accomplish his work. I think that a lot of us in here are desperate for changing, desperate for being transformed, desperate for that sin in my life to be changed, that sin in my life to be uprooted and it being replaced with something else. But I want to encourage you, the only way you're going to grow, the only way your spirit is going to grow, the only way your relationship with God is going to grow is if you first go to your closet, listen to his voice, and secondly, do what he tells you to do. Amen? You guys challenged tonight? As she's playing the piano and just kind of putting some more taste to the word tonight, if you will. I love the piano. If you go with me to chapter 3 of 1 Samuel real quick. Story of a boy who was raised in the church. Story of somebody who understood that God spoke to pastors, God spoke to prophets. You know, I think this word is challenging. But I think that here at Generation Ministries, we challenge a lot, don't we? We're really challenging hardcore. Get right with Jesus, you know. Always preaching, repent, right with God. But I believe that any great encouragement comes with a great challenge. Therefore, because it's a great challenge, I want to encourage you tonight. Because God gave me this word for you. 1 Samuel 3. This boy is raised in the chapel. He's raised in the church. Growing up. A lot of us, kind of like a lot of us, being Christians, raised in the home, seeing our mom and dad being talked to, spoken to by God, and doing what they felt like they were called to do. He got to a certain age, but the age doesn't really matter, but he became about 17, about your guys' age, our age. Finally, about the middle between everybody here tonight. And he's living this life. He's laying in bed one night. He hears this voice, Samuel! Samuel! He jumps up. Yes, Lord, here I am. And he runs to his pastor, if you will, the prophet, Eli. Who was the head of the church, so to say, at that time. He stands before him and he goes, Lush, Lord, you called me. He goes, no, I didn't. Go back to bed. He goes, well, you called me. Didn't you call me? No, I didn't, Samuel. Go back to bed. All right. He kind of walks back down the corridors, crawls back into bed. Again, the voice comes again. Samuel, Samuel. Jumps up. Yes, Lord, here I am. That'd be kind of crazy. I don't know about you. Jumps up and runs back down. Probably knocks on the door, you know. Yes, Lord, you called. No, I didn't, Samuel. I didn't call. But I mean, are you sure? I mean, I heard you. Somebody was calling my name. What's interesting is that people today, is that even with this young man, he couldn't help to accept that God was calling him. But he substituted that voice for the pastor. God's calling me to do that? No, 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 no. Must be the pastor. That guy's more holy. That girl's more holy than me. Couldn't be me. Maybe I should go tell that person to do it, because I don't know if I can do that. The story goes on. He goes back because Eli tells him, he says, if you hear the voice of the Lord again, he says that
He says, if you hear the voice calls you again, he says, tell him, here I am. Your servant is listening. So the voice comes again. Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up. He says, here I am. You called me. He says, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something, Israel. They'll make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family. And he goes on and he gives Samuel, young Samuel, a vision. Tonight, I want to encourage you, no matter where you are, no matter how much you deny God, or no matter where you are in your experience with the Lord, that he's calling you as well. That he has a specific plan for each and every one of us. Every man, every woman, that we are sons and daughters of a living God. And the Father is sitting there and he's given us commands. And he's given us tasks. And he's given us things that we must do. It doesn't matter how much you've disobeyed. Where are you right now with the Lord? Simply coming and saying, Lord, I repent. Forgive me for not listening to you. From this day on, help me to listen to your voice. My encouragement is that God wants to speak to you. He doesn't just want to speak to Pastor Josh Tanner, to your mom or to your dad or whoever you see that is spiritual, but that knows God. But he wants to speak to you and give you a task and a command so that you can go and do it. Amen? That's exciting to me. That the God of all creation speaks to dust, me, and says, I have a plan for you in this whole scheme of things. I'm doing a lot of things here in this world. And I want you to be a part of it. You're on my team. You're on my side. I'm calling you individually. The Bible says that he knows us by name. He formed us in our mother's womb. Would you stand with me? Whatever tonight looks like for you, we're not necessarily going to do an altar call, but if you want, after I close in prayer, you can come on down here to the front and we'll pray for you. We have equipped ministers and leaders here that want to pray for you. And those, you know who you are, you can come down here later. But whatever tonight looks like, I want to encourage you. If this didn't challenge you at all, it's great. But then keep listening to the voice of the Lord. If this challenged you, the only way to get right is to repent. So God's calling you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a vision. He's got a purpose. He's got a task for you that he wants you to go and do. But before he tells you to go, you have to sit and listen to his voice. You have to sit and hear what he's telling you to do. Before you go to the nations, go to your closet and hear the voice of the Lord. That's the message tonight, because there's no substitute. I wouldn't be here tonight, speaking to you tonight, if I didn't believe this. If I didn't believe that God had a purpose for each and every one of you, I wouldn't be speaking this right now. I wouldn't be wasting my time. But no, God's transformed my life, and he's given me this word. And I'm speaking this seriously. I'm saying, go and listen to his voice. If you need to do it right now after the service, amen. Praise God. Go do it. We're going to sing a song or so and just worship. Like I said, it's not about singing the right song or singing songs. But would you listen to his voice? Because he's speaking to you. I promise you. He's called me. Man, I was dirty. He's
washed me. He has called me to a purpose. Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you, God, that you love us. God, that each and every one of us, God, you love. That every daughter, every son you love. God, even those who don't even know you, God, you love. God, you paid a price for each and every one of us. Because, God, you see that we have a purpose and that you have a plan for us. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would encourage each and every one of us right now. Holy Spirit, that you would go through each aisle, through each seat, and minister to the hearts of those who want to respond. God, those who don't want to respond, I'm asking that you still minister to them and you lead them to repentance. Holy Spirit, that you right now would come and rest on us, transform our hearts, renew our minds with your truth. Do a great work in us tonight, Lord. Do what you want to do. Call us to a place where we can do your will.